Blog Talk Radio.
His favorite course. He's won seven times there.
over the course of his career. Matter of fact, won seven times there over the course of his career. So we'll see if he can finish the tournament, finish this tournament again. There are no big-time players who are going to be on his heels. So, again, it would not be a good sign for Woods if he were to not finish the deal and win this tournament. 347-215-6180 is your call number. This is Cyril Quinn on the Cyril Quinn Review. Good morning to everybody out there on this cold, cold Saturday. It's definitely in D.C. Hope you're staying warm out there. A busy show to do as we brace for Super Bowl 47. But again, a lot of other things to talk about in the world of sports. We'll be right back.
Digging
and just things of that nature. Now they have an eye on him. Just in case you can't jaywalk towards me. So it's something that you don't want your name to be attached to. So, but again, he's been cleared of any wrongdoing. Victoria Azarenka wins her second straight Australian Open, defeating Li Na in three sets. This was a very long match, 2 hours and 40 minutes, 4-6, 6-4, 6-4. That, you know, it's a decent story because it is her second straight Australian Open. But the story to me of this tournament was Sloane Stephens, who took out Serena Williams. And I thought she had no chance to beat Serena. Serena, you know, her back tightened up. Serena, according to Serena Williams, she's never lost a match in her life. So, you know, there's always an excuse or something, you know, the sky was yellow, something that excuses her losing. She's unbeatable. She can't lose. So give this girl's 19 years old, tennis in the worst way in general, especially women's tennis, needs a Sloane Stephens to come out here and, you know, be competitive in these major tournaments and become a force moving forward. Serena Williams is not going to play forever. Outside Serena Williams, you have nobody on the tour that is worth watching, to be honest with you. I'm just going to be honest with you. You have nobody that's going to draw an audience to watching these matches. This girl has a lot of talent. She didn't back away from Serena, even after losing the first set. And, again, 19 years old, looks to be, has the talent to be a major force in the women's game. So we'll see. We'll see what she does with beating Serena. I mean, that was a huge win for her in a quarterfinal match. So we'll see what happens with that. When we come back, we'll have the Redskin report, and we will look at some baseball, at some possible baseball. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
When you walk through the garden,
late in the morning, your high-profile athlete, you know, it's going to draw attention. You're going to draw attention to yourself, even when you don't want to draw attention to yourself. I mean, I don't get the standpoint of you have to be in a public club. Why, you know, what the NFL, you know, goes to Hawaii, you know, have been going to Hawaii for years. Now, they went to Miami 1 year when they tried to, you know, change it up. But for the most part, the Pro Bowl has been in Hawaii forever. There's not a private, there's not private parties that the NFL can throw to where if you're an NFL player, you can go and be surrounded by your own people. I don't get it. I mean, again, I understand, you know, Trent Williams is a young man. He's going out there to celebrate, you know, just, you know, being young and being in a Pro Bowl. I get it. I'm not trying to say Trent Williams should be at home playing Scrabble, but we've seen so many of these situations where, you know, guys get drunk, talking back and forth, and next thing you know, you have, you know, police reports left and right. It happens all the time, especially with these, you know, especially with athletes. Again, I don't understand why the NFL can't have private parties to where these guys can, you know, have a good time. You can drink whatever, do whatever you want to do, you know, within the confines of that, you know, and having security, things of that nature. You know, it never turns out good at these clubs. Never. Never. So, also one note, the Redskins, Larry Michael came out this week and said that Redskin Park did not need any renovations, or, you know, was doing fine. Mike Shanahan thinks otherwise, that Redskin Park needs to be updated, and modified. If you're the Redskins, first of all, it shouldn't even have to take Mike Shanahan to say anything. You know, the Redskins print money, okay? I don't understand, and this is the second big thing in the last month. First, you had the playoff game where the field was messed, where the field was tore up, and there were players saying it was probably one of the worst fields they've ever played on. You know, and you had, of course, RG3's. It certainly contributed to RG3's knee, though it wasn't probably the main reason, but it didn't help with that field condition, that playoff game. And now, with the condition of Redskin Park, the Redskins should have every up-to-date thing known to man, okay, with the money that franchise is raking in. I mean, you go on a list right now and try to get season tickets for the Redskins, you know, I hope you have kids. Because they're the only people in your family that are going to see them. That's how long the list, you know, that's how many years you're going to be waiting to get on that season ticket list. Redskins have money hand over foot. There's no reason why the Redskins should have secondhand anything. Field, you know, training facility, weights. The Redskins should have the newest of the new. I mean, you can go out there and spend, you know, $100 million on a player in Albert Haynesworth, but you don't have, you know, top-of-the-line facilities. I mean, something wrong with that pitcher or a terrible field. Shouldn't happen. And it really is an embarrassment to the franchise, to be honest with you. Again, I don't care what Larry Michael says. I mean, Larry Michael, by the way, is employed by the Redskins. Okay, so, you know, he's in terms of radio and then that terrible show, the Redskin Nation, which, you know, a complete waste of time if you're a Redskin fan to watch that. But if Mike Shanahan says, you know, we need new facilities, then, you know, you gotta get new facilities. It's just that simple, and it should have already happened a long time ago. 49 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, when we return, we will look at some hostile baseball that's coming up, and the NBA, and a look at the night in the NBA that's coming up on this last edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. 347-215-6180 is your call number. And I'm also up on the chat line. The chat line for any questions or comments that the listening audience may have. A busy week in baseball, beginning with the Atlanta Braves getting Justin Upton in a trade with major trade with Arizona. Upton joining his brother DJ, who was signed as a free agent by the Braves earlier, you know, a few weeks ago. Now you have both Uptons along with Jason Hayward in your outfield. And again, you have an outfield that has the potential to be one of the best and most athletic outfields in all of baseball. And the key word in that is potential. I thought Jason Hayward had a nice bounce back year this year. BJ Upton would, you know, hit a lot of home runs, but shaky average. Justin Upton had an off year this year compared to what he had done in 2011. So, I mean, it's a risky move for the Braves, but again, you gotta understand who we're dealing with in terms of having a history of making moves. I mean, the Braves, you know, making the Fred McGriff move, I know, years back, and seeing what happened to their franchise after that. They won, you know, they took off after that, and Fred McGriff was a great player for them for a long time, won a championship with them in 95. You know, Mark Teixeira, you know, that deal, you know, they get back all the pitching and prospects they got back with the Teixeira deal. So the Braves have a history of making big moves and being on the right end of it. I think the Braves felt, though, as if, you know, the Nationals were going to run and hide with this division. Because the Nationals would go out there and sign Rafael Soriano and then get Dan Heron as well. So, you know, Nationals have made some moves and got improved their bullpen. Will be certain to have Strasburg back for a full season next year. So I don't blame the Braves. I don't blame the Braves for making this move whatsoever. You know, Martin Prado is a very good player. But does Martin Prado have the upside of a Justin Upton? Probably not. So the Braves clearly are trying to keep up with the Nationals. And again, I think in the long term that this will be a quality move. Now, again, athletically and defensively, this has a chance to be one of the best outfields in all of baseball. All those guys can play excellent defense. Haywood and, you know, Upton, Justin Upton can cover a lot of ground. BJ Upton can cover, all of them can cover a lot of ground. You know, Haywood in right field. Haywood has, you know, the range of a center fielder. BJ Upton is a tremendous center fielder in terms of, and BJ Upton, remember, this is a guy who, you know, in a postseason had 6 or 7 home runs one year with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. When he's focused and locked in, he can play at a high level. It's just been a matter of him being consistent over the course of the past couple of years. He had a pretty good year last year. But Atlanta, again, you got to consider where he's at. He's in Atlanta. They develop their players. Their players tend to get better when they go there. So, you know, again, the Nationals will be, the Braves will be the main rival, chief rival for the Nationals, certainly moving forward come 2013. When we return, we will get into some NBA, All-Star Reserve selected, and a near triple-double for Kobe Bryant. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of The Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
Bibble, 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 b
Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. 347-215-6180. Of course, next week we will have a heavy, heavy Super Bowl program. Get a couple of guests and break down Super Bowl 47, Baltimore and San Francisco. Teams will arrive tomorrow and Monday. I think San Francisco is coming in first. We're very interested to see how much talk you get about the Ray Lewis situation, the Ray Lewis murder situation that happened in the prior Super Bowl, or back in 2000, not the prior Super Bowl, back in 2000, back in the 99 season, it was January 2000. It'd be very interesting to see where, of course, two people were killed and Ray Lewis was charged with obstruction of justice, which he later was cleared for, because he had to, had to talk about what happened that particular night. You know, to this day, Ray Lewis knows what happens, no question about it. And two people are dead. It's the bottom line. You know, certainly Ray Lewis has made a, change in his life as far as what he's doing off the field. He's beloved not only on the field, but beloved off the field within the community. But that situation did happen, and certainly in his last game, that will be talked about. I'm sure he will have to field some questions on that situation. We've seen a few articles on it lately about the victims and with their families still think about the situation. So that'll be something that's brought up in media day. The Harbaughs will have joint press conferences, of course, first time in Super Bowl history. So that should be interesting as well. That's probably the only communication that they'll have over the course of that week, I would think, considering the circumstances and the situation. So they had a lot to talk about, break down in Super Bowl for Super Bowl week. We have a big-time Super Bowl program for you coming up next week on next week's edition of Cyril Quinn Review. Right now, though, NBA takes center stage, at least for this weekend. All-star reserves were selected. Of course, the one omission out of both teams was Stephen Curry, who this year has been just tremendous. I mean, 20 points, basically, 7 assists, four rebounds. Really has played well, and even has played well against some of the top point guards, whether it be Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. Golden State has played, despite what happened last night in Chicago, they had wins over the Clippers and also Oklahoma City this week. A team that, when they get Andrew Bogut back, will be a very, very dangerous team. A team that you don't frankly want to see in the first round. I mean, that team can defend. We know they can score. They can shoot. They're a good rebounding team. And they're a loose team, and they're very well coached. I mean, Mark Jackson has came in and done an excellent job just changing the culture, instilling a mentality of winning. Jackson, I've gotten a chance to hear a few of his games. When he speaks like, hey, we're going to win a championship. I mean, that's the mentality that he's brought to that, to that franchise. Hey, we're a good team too. The other team, we respect the other team, but you know what? We're also a good team. He's no nonsense, thinking in terms of a positive vibe that he's brought to the team. And that it starts with a mentality. It starts when you try to change a culture. That's exactly what it starts with. And Jackson has certainly brought that to the team. Jared Jack is playing great basketball. Like, he should be in talks for possibly being sixth man of the year along with J.R. Smith and Jamal Crawford, who, by the way, I did not have a problem with either J.R. Smith or Jamal Crawford not making an All-Star team. I didn't. People go crazy about these All-Star spots. Again, Stephen Curry was the one player out of both conferences that should have been on the team without question. If it had to be a choice between Stephen Curry and David Lee, who's averaging 20 and 11, then go look at the team when Stephen Curry was hurt last year. and look at the team right now. So big, major difference. That team, he is the best player on that team. Stephen Curry is the best player on the team. He is the most valuable player on that team, without question. I mean, Stephen Curry could make an all NBA team. I mean, sure, he could be third team all NBA easily this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he continues on his pace. He will be on one of those all NBA teams. So, you know, there's always one or two guys that get left off of the All-Star team that should be on there. It happens every year, especially in the Western Conference, which to me is the Western Conference, as far as talent, is by far so much better than the East. Now, I understand Miami can beat anybody, and they still go in as the team to beat to me in the NBA, despite some of the struggles that they've had. But the Western Conference, as far as personnel, is a much just heads and shoulders above the Eastern Conference. I mean, you know, Eastern Conference, you had a bunch of guys, you know, you were arguing over 17 point per game scorers making a team. And that's where the Eastern Conference is at right now. NBA last night, Boston has lost six straight games. They lose a double overtime game against the Atlanta Hawks, 123-111. Despite Rajon Rondo having a triple-double, Kyle Korver had a big game, knocking down a bunch of threes. Atlanta, you know, the Celtics, it's going to be very, very interesting to watch because, you know, normally Doc Rivers does not do a lot of talking through the media. Normally he keeps stuff in-house, and you'll hear a little whispers here and there, certainly if you're in Boston, but Doc Rivers has been doing a lot of talking to the media this year. He's not happy. You wonder whether or not his time is up with that team. Now, again, Doc Rivers is a top coach. I'm not saying he should be fired. Okay, let me make that clear. But you could be with a franchise for so long or with a group of core players for so long that it's either he needs to just leave and find and look for a new challenge, or they need to just totally – They need to just totally blow up that roster and start over again. Because, you know, again, Boston, again, they have a lot of new pieces. They have a lot of new pieces that nine new players, but they're losing games to teams that, you know, just have you shaking your head. I mean, I watched them last week. Well, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, lose to the Pistons, Detroit Pistons by 18 points. I'm like, this Detroit, yeah, the Rodney Stuckey Detroit Pistons. That, I mean, that, you know, if you're a Boston fan, you have to be. Those are the type of wins that you should be pocketing easily against a team like Detroit. And they've lost twice to Detroit at that, so they're struggling right now, and. You know, they just, I mean, it might be time, you know, the Pierce, Garnett, that whole, you know, might be time to just break that up. Lakers get a win over Utah, breaking their four-game losing streak. Again, just been a whole bunch of Kobe Bryant, you know, and again, you'll look at the numbers, and the numbers are what they are. When Lakers, when he scores 30 or more, they have a losing record. When he takes 20 or fewer shots, they are a great team. So the question is, him trusting the other players enough to where he doesn't have to take 25 to 30 shots. Last night they had balance with Gasol, Howard, Nash, all scoring, and Meta World Peace, all scoring somewhere between 14 and 17 points. Dwight Howard did play in the game. This is the strangest injury I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he was out with a torn labrum for a couple of weeks or so, comes back, injures it, and misses like one game. Doesn't even miss a game. I mean, he hurt it against Memphis on Wednesday, and he's back on Friday. I mean, I don't – what is the severity of the injury? Again, it's the strangest injury I've ever seen in my life, that a guy can recover that quickly. But we'll see what the Lakers can do. They have certainly the acid test on Sunday as they take on the team with the best record in basketball, in Oklahoma City, who won by 10 last night. Again, we talked about the Bulls had a great win against Golden State. The Bulls have played extremely well without Derrick Rose, and certainly await his return soon, probably in a few weeks or so. Probably I would say after the All-Star break, Derrick Rose probably will be back somewhere late February, early March. But certainly the Bulls have held their own even without him. Chris Paul continues to be injured. I'd be concerned about that if I were the Clippers. I mean, with the knee, I think the Clippers are deep enough to where his minutes, you might even consider lowering his minutes to like 27 to 30 minutes. But the Clippers, because the Clippers are a very deep basketball, probably the deepest team in the league right now. So I'll be very nervous about Chris Paul's injuries, because remember, even if he's healthy going into the playoffs, you have to have him at 100%. You can't have him running out of gas like I thought he did last year against San Antonio in the playoffs. So they should rest him as many games as possible. I thought he came back from the last injury too quick. No need to rush him. You have a good enough team to where on most nights you're going to win games even without Chris Paul. I mean, that team, that's how deep their team is. Bledsoe, they have scorers, guys who can score. Now, I know they had a loss to Phoenix. But other than that, they had some good wins without Chris Paul on the floor. So we'll see how they monitor that injury moving forward. When we return, we will have another edition of Are You Kidding Me? That's coming up on this latest edition of the Serial Queen Review. We'll be right back. After the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Serial Queen Review, 347-215-6180 is your call number. This is, of course, another edition of...
Are you kidding me?
49 quarterback Colin Kaepernick, taking advantage of his newly found fame, is filing a trademark for his bicep kissing. So when he makes a big play, when he scores a touchdown, of course, he kisses his bicep. I think his right bicep, for those of you keeping up with that sound stuff at home. And he wants to, his representatives and lawyers want to trademark that. So, if somebody else, another player, another athlete does that, then he can sue them? For bicep kissing? I mean, there's no way that can go through. I mean, come on. I mean, what next with these trademarks? Everybody wants to trademark everything. Horrible. It's ridiculous. Everybody, if you're calling Kaepernick, you have a lot. First of all, you obviously have the Super Bowl to worry about, I'm sure. And I'm sure he's going to be very much prepared for Super Bowl. I don't think this is going to be a distraction. But I understand. You never know when you can get hurt in the NFL. You never know when your next – you're always one play away. And I get that Kaepernick is not going to be able to get paid, or the 49ers don't have to pay him until after the 2013 season. Now, the 49ers were smart. He wins the Super Bowl. You sign him to an extension and give him money after this year. The 49ers are a very shrewd organization. They'll probably say, hey, let's see what he does after the two, we'll see what he does for a full season, which would probably be the smart thing to do. But so Kaepernick is still on his rookie deal. So I guess, you know, he's trying to cash in. But there's no way that that trade, that that patent will go through, I feel. There's no way. Cam Cameron calling his own firing a brilliant move.
Are you kidding me?
Now, you look at the numbers from the Raven offense. Before Cameron, I mean, during the Cam Cameron tenure this year and afterwards, the biggest difference is in the rushing department. After they've been rushing, averaging like 155 yards rushing, before it was like 101. Ray Rice is becoming a more integral part of the offense. They have averaged more points. You know, 28 compared to 24, 23.8 compared to 28 compared to 24. So they're like, so listen, Caldwell's done an excellent job with the offense. But if you're Cam Cameron, I mean, let us as media people take shots at you. Yeah, why would you take a shot at yourself? I mean, you do hope to coach again in the NFL. I'm assuming you haven't. You're not going to retire and go in, you know, and, you know, go fishing for the rest of your life. I mean, I'm assuming he wants to coach again, not as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator. So I'm not going to tear down my own resume and my own self trying to, you know, kiss Baltimore's ass when they're the ones that got rid of you. I mean, you could have a Super Bowl ring. You could be playing for a Super Bowl ring right now. That would be my thinking if I'm Cam Cameron. That me as an offensive coordinator could have gotten the team to help them get to a Super Bowl. I mean, last year under Cam Cameron as an offensive coordinator, they were within a Lee Evans catch away from going to the Super Bowl. And that's the biggest misconception about Baltimore is now suddenly this juggernaut of an offense. The difference, the reason why Baltimore's in the Super Bowl is because of their defense and the improvement of their defense over the course of this year. Not just their offense. And we know what Flacco has done. We know what Ray Rice is. But it's their defense. That defense was awful during parts of the year. You know, part of that, a lot of that due to injuries, some of that due to just poor play. But that's the story of Baltimore, their defense, not Cam Cameron. Phil Mickelson complaining about taxes, the raising of taxes in the state of California.
Are you kidding me?
Now, because of these new tax laws that have been put into place by our great President Obama, you know, people, millionaires, rich people are going to have to actually pay taxes, higher taxes. I mean, what a concept that the more money you make, the more taxes that you have to give, that you have to pay. I mean, oh my goodness. It's like, that's really? So Mickelson makes anywhere from $43 to $48 million a year. $5 million, you know, last year he made $48 million. $43 million in terms of endorsements and $5 million in terms of his salary, in terms of his just, you know, what he earned on the golf course. And he would have to pay, with these new tax laws, he would have to pay 63% of that, or give 63% of that to Uncle Sam, which is a lot. Okay, 63% of anything is a lot, let alone your salary. If it was a person making, you know, $100,000 and had to do that, that's one thing. But when you're making $48 million and you have to get, and you're still left with basically, you know, $15, $16, $17 million in your pocket, nobody wants to hear that. Now, if you're so keen on, you know, then move to Florida, move to Arizona, move to Florida, get out of California. But nobody, and I mean nobody, wants to hear you crying about the tax laws and, you know, you're going to have to look into your finances. No, please, you're making 40, really? The average Joe is laughing. I will take that problem right now, today. Let's trade salaries. Let's see if you're still complaining. Let's trade salaries. The government could take 63% of my salary if I were making $48 million. Sure, take it. And first of all, if I'm Phil Mickelson, I'm finding some real accountants. Because you find some real accountants, that shouldn't be happening. They shouldn't be taking 63%. They would not be taking 63% of my earnings, of what I earn. That's not going to happen. So he needs to find some real accountants to help him, manages money, so to make sure that that kind of thing does not happen. When we return, we'll talk some college basketball and also what is wrong with the Washington Capitals. That's coming up on this edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday morning of the Cyril Quinn Review, as we discuss the world of sports, college basketball now comes to the forefront, so to speak, with the football being a couple weeks away from being done, a week away from being over. A lot of upsets in this past week. You know, Duke got destroyed by Miami. Certainly something that you did not see coming. About 27 points. Louisville, teams like that lost. Louisville, Arizona, Butler, teams like that fell. Listen, there's no dominant college basketball team this year. Anywhere from probably 15 to 20 teams could probably win a championship, maybe even more. No Kentucky, even some of these known programs like Indiana, Duke, Arizona got picked off this week. You know, it's gonna be a wide open field in the NCAA tournament this year. If you had to choose four number one seeds, you probably would go Duke, Michigan, Kansas, maybe Syracuse. Duke, Michigan, yeah, maybe that'll be your four, but even that would be a tricky proposition to try to find out right now. Still playing time for the NCAA tournament. But the bottom line is, LaSalle beat Butler. Go figure that. Butler is a team that has been, beat Gonzaga, has beat Indiana, and they lose to LaSalle. And by the way, Temple will play Butler, so I'll be very interested to watch that game tonight, watching Temple, see if Temple can pull off another shocker as they beat Syracuse earlier this year in New York City. So right now, Big East play going on with Louisville at Georgetown and also Syracuse at Villanova. Big Ten seems to be lowered this year, but again, the Big Ten to me has to prove itself in the NCAA tournament. Big Ten has these great regular seasons and they tend to flame out in the NCAA tournament. As far as the ACC goes, NC State played North Carolina. North Carolina's been playing better of late, still unranked. They've been unranked for the last 5 weeks. North Carolina State has a lot of talent. North Carolina State has Final Four talent, but has had some bad losses earlier in the season. We'll see if they can end that 13-game losing streak to North Carolina. And if they're going to end it, they're going to end it now, because North Carolina is not a finished North Carolina team, and NC State is hosting the game. So we'll see if they can end. We'll see if they can end that streak now. Duke and Maryland. That used to be one of the best rivalries in all college basketball. Maryland coming off a loss to North Carolina. We'll see if Maryland can pick off Duke. There was a time when Gary Williams, outside of that, when Gary Williams was the you know, had Duke's number for, you know, a couple of years or so, or had by far in a way had the most success against Duke of the team, especially when North Carolina was down for a couple of years. Mark Turgeon doesn't have the same kind of talent, but he does have a feisty team that likes to play defense and that does not back down from anybody. So it'd be interesting to watch him play Duke, you know, with Kelly hurt. It's hard with the Brian Kelly hurt. Hard to get a good gauge on where they're at right now. On where they're at right now with him, they are a legit championship contender. Without him, they're just another team. So Maryland certainly has the opportunity to catch Duke. I would think that Duke coming off that Miami embarrassment would be tough to deal with today. So I mean, there you go with the college basketball. Again, no dominant teams this year. No dominant teams. There are going to be a couple of mid-majors that go far in the NCAA tournament without question. Syracuse would be that third number one, that fourth number one. They're ranked number three right now. I just saw a stat that Syracuse had won 28-1 in the last 29 Big East games, which is just remarkable considering how strong that conference has been year to year, and especially with the expansion over the past 4 or 5 years. So Syracuse right now proven to be the class of the Big East. As it had, they had a big win last week against Louisville. That was a great win on the road. Louisville in D.C. this weekend, right now playing against Georgetown. Georgetown had a great win at Notre Dame, beat Notre Dame by a bunch of points at Notre Dame, which was a shocking loss for them. So college basketball is all over the place right now. I mean, you don't, especially on the road, anybody can lose a college basketball game on the road, anywhere you're ranked or not. NHL, and to stay with the Washington, D.C. theme, NHL Capitals are 0-4 right now. They have no points. They lose an overtime game last night. You know, they right now just can't, you know, they just can't get right now. They lose to the Devils last night. Kolacek with a game-winning goal, 3-2, after rallying from a 2-0 deficit. And they're a team that, to me, I don't know what the identity of the Capitals is right now. And it's puzzling considering where they were 2 to 3 years ago. Basically 2 years ago, Capitals were one of the up-and-coming young teams in the NHL. Ovechkin was as good as one of the top players in the league. You had a bunch of talent with Ovechkin, Semin, Backstrom, Mike Green. You know, there was always talk of the Capitals having, you know, being three or four deep in terms of goaltenders in their system. Now that, you know, they trade goaltenders, now they don't, you know, they basically, you know, don't have a top goaltender. They think they have a top goaltender, but they don't have a top goaltender right now. And their franchise, to me, is at a crossroads. I mean, I don't know what direction the Capitals are going in right now as far as their future. I mean, again, it's early in the season. It's early, but it's not early. And when you start off a season 0-4, okay, in a 48-game season, that is a big hole. They made a big hole to climb out of, especially in the Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference, you have heavyweight teams with the Rangers and Pittsburgh, teams of that nature, you know, Tampa Bay, to name a few. Boston. A lot of teams in the Eastern Conference, a lot of talented teams in the Eastern Conference, their next game is going to be an absolute must-win for them to get some points here, or get a tie, at worst. They need some points. But again, it is puzzling, baffling to see where this franchise has went in the last couple of years. You know, they looked like they were on the cusp of being a championship-caliber team. Now they're looking like a team that's going to struggle to make the playoffs. You know, they've gone through a couple of coaches in the last two years. A lot of, you know, Boudreaux and Dale Hunter. Very puzzling if you are a Capitals fan, considering where the team was at, like I said, two to three years ago. When we return, we will finish where we started with one Tiger Woods. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it that you bottom dollar, you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down.
Twenty-seven minutes after the 12 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Saturday of the Cyril Quinn Review. Tiger Woods, of course, in the lead at the Farmers Insurance Open. Woods looking for his 8th win at the Torrey Pines course. Torrey Pines course, in which he loves. Woods really doesn't have any big time competition trailing him. The next 7 golfers after him have no wins, have no PGA wins. Between them, while Woods, of course, has 74 in his illustrious career, you know, you have some notable guys, Nick Watney, Charles Howell III, you know, Brent Snedeker is 400, so we know how talented he is, but, I mean, you really, like, he should win this tournament. I mean, he should win this tournament. There would be no excuse for him not to win this tournament. It would be a huge boost. It would be a huge boost for him going to 2013 if he were to win this tournament, as he tries to win major number 15. So Woods 11 under. He had been playing. He had been killing the par fives and also making putts. Two things that he frankly has not done at the same time in many tournaments that he's played in over the course of the last 2 or 3 years. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the rest of the tournament, but to me, a lot of pressure on Tiger Woods to finish the deal and get his first win of the year. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be back next week with a Super Bowl program that will break down the game. We'll break down the game, Super Bowl 47. Have a great weekend. I will see you soon.
You will see who